You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 144.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, we're in the midst of summer, so that was a teaser from the Summer Concerto from Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. So stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Now for my main topic today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Jason Gadd, who is the Vice President of Business Development for ExamSoft Worldwide. We'll be talking about the ExamSoft assessment or testing system. We'll find out how it works. What are the advantages over online LMS exams? Does it work with Scantron-type paper exam delivery? Can it be proctored? Do exams work on all smartphones and tablets? What happens if the internet connection fails during a test? And can you map questions to learning objectives and use it for assessment purposes? So without further ado, here's my interview with Jason Gadd. Jason, thank you so much for agreeing to spend some time with me this afternoon and tell me about ExamSoft.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. So ExamSoft can be thought of as having a very comprehensive assessment solution offering. So I found that it's best to understand it by breaking it up into its three modules. There's an item banking exam authoring tool, which are web-based, an installed application for test delivery to the students, and finally, a web-based tool for exam scoring, reporting, and analytics. So at a high level, that's our solution. I'm happy to go into some of the highlights of the capabilities as well, but I'll wait for you to instruct me where you want to go next.
Sure, sure. Also, I always like to find out a little bit about you and how you what your background is and how you became attached to ExamSoft.
Ah, okay. So I have a really funny story when it comes to ExamSoft. I was I went to law school. I'm actually an attorney, licensed here in the state of Florida. I never did practice. Instead, I actually went into academia. So I became my alma mater's first instructional technologist. And we did some really cool things for the time. This was, I was really dating myself, back in 1996, 97. And we were the first law school to require laptops, and we used this new technology called wireless internet. Ooh. it was literally before the 802.11 days. It was proprietary. So we really made a name for ourselves in technology. We were voted like the most technologically advanced law school in the country, and we got a lot of notoriety. And interestingly, one of the challenges we had was the students were really ticked off that they were required to buy these expensive laptops, but weren't allowed to use them to take exams. And so we did some research and we found what turned out to be the predecessor to ExamSoft. And then anyway, I left the law school. I was working elsewhere for a number of years. And then back in 2001, I was looking for another job, and lo and behold, ExamSoft had incorporated as such and was located just a few miles from my home. So I started on July 5th of 2001. And I'm about to celebrate my 15-year anniversary.
Wow, good for you. And I understand that ExamSoft got its start with the law exam. Is that right?
Correct. So the focus back then was pretty straightforward. It was law schools and bar examiners. And it's interesting because they're all high-stakes exams, but they're all essay-based. So the original incarnation of the software was purely a lockdown of a computer offline to administer essay-based exams, where the essays are delivered on paper, but the essay responses typed onto a student-owned laptop computer, which was a really novel idea back then. In fact, back then, everything was done on floppy disks. Remember those good old-fashioned, 3.5-inch floppy disks? We've come a long way since then. But yes, that was our roots. And then we evolved starting in 2001, right when I joined, to allow for a much more comprehensive type of solution where we were allowed for things like the question banking, the appearance of the questions on screen during an exam, as opposed to using paper for question delivery.
Right. You know, I've been in using e-learning technology for several decades. I won't date myself too much, but, you know, having a question data bank, I can't tell you how many times I've been through, you know, converting questions from one format, from one database to another. So here we go again. But I think this this time it'll last for quite some time.
In fact, we're counting on it. We're counting on it.
Of course, we've used an LMS here for, like most schools, and one of the issues that we've always had is, first of all, we haven't used it for high-stakes exams because you have to be connected, you know, to the internet, connected to our LMS, which is in the cloud. And even for low-stakes exams, you know, when you have 60 kids in a classroom and you know, you have any number of issues with, you know, the individual's devices or the Wi-Fi and that part of the room and part of the institution. So I was really attracted to the idea. And I don't know how many of my listeners know that with ExamSoft, you don't have to have a live connection. Do you want to explain a little bit how that works from the student and the faculty point of view?
Absolutely. So, you know, because of our law school and bar examiner roots, because they're all high stakes exams and they're taken at the same time, we knew from the start that web-based delivery was just an idiotic approach, where you needed a live internet connection throughout the exam. It would never have worked, especially back in 2001. But even today in 2016, it's still very impractical for most schools, especially when the exam is being delivered to 100 or more students for 1, 2, 3 hours in length. So what we implemented back in 2001 and has evolved obviously tremendously through today is a very novel approach where all the tools that the instructors use, the web-based item banking exam authoring tools, the exam scoring tools, they're all available through the web. Just fire up a web browser, log in, and get to it. The student piece is different. The student piece is an installed application. It runs natively on Windows, on Macs, and on iPads. So the student presumably installs the software, let's say, at the beginning of the school year. Around exam time, they'll get an email alert that, hey, your exam is available for download. Usually what schools do is they let their students download a few hours in advance. So let's pretend an exam is at 9 a.m. Maybe the school makes it available for download as early as 5 a.m. Student wakes up, checks their email, sees that there's an exam available. They log into the exam software. They download it. Now, can they open it? No, of course not. It's encrypted using 256-bit military-grade encryption, and it's password protected. So they go, they get ready for school, they come in, they sit down in the room where the exam is going to be delivered. Usually what happens is the proctor writes the password on the board in the front of the room. The student transcribes the password, and that's really where the security magic happens. So now SoftTest locks the computer and then unlocks the exam. And when they arrive at the first question, if there is a time limit imposed by the instructor, the timer begins. So now they are not only blocked from other resources on their hard drive. So it's a weird environment. There's no minimize. There's no control alt delete and going to a task manager. They can't video or screen capture. They can't run it in a virtual operating system. Just a handful of the myriad of things we put in place to safeguard the integrity of the exam process. But while they're in that environment, all they can do is take the exam. And of course, as I noted, they are now working offline. So that internet connection was necessary, but only at some point before an exam started, and then once an exam ends. So what happens is that once the exam is over, either because the student exits of her own volition, or because perhaps you put a time limit, the instructor put a time limit, and she's now run out of time, and she gets a warning, of course, and we kick her out. At that point, SoftTest unlocks the computer and looks for the internet connection. If it finds the connection, whoop, just auto-uploads the answer file without any additional student intervention. It does an integrity check on the file, and once it uploads successfully, it will give the student an email confirmation, congratulate them on screen, and it will update a web page that the proctor or the instructor can see to track all the downloads and all the uploads and when they each occurred. The most important step, though, is the next step, which is where it imports those answers back into the school's database. So again, that's the database that we're hosting for the school, into which the school entered their questions, but now the answers get repatriated with the questions. So it all comes full circle. That's where the instructor logs in again to the web browser, into their portal, and voila, they click a button, it auto-computes the objective results. All the multiple choice questions are auto-scored. They can adjust answer keys, et cetera. And if there's any essay or short answer questions, they can be manually scored online as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That answers, I think, a lot of questions about how this works. Now, of course, in our situation, for high-stakes exams, we've, like a lot of schools, we still rely on, you know, printed, you know, Scantron-type answer sheets. What can we do if we still want to, if some faculty are resistant and they still want to use the old paper-based exams?
So you begin by mocking them. But once you're finished mocking them, here's what's really neat about this model. You can deliver the exam on Windows, on Mac, on iPad, like I suggested. But what's really cool is if you need to, whether it's for one or two students, whether it's for every student in the class, you need to deliver it on paper and use, you know, the good old-fashioned bubble sheet Scantron type of approach. No sweat. We can even accommodate that. So what happens is you can output, when you create an exam, you can output a paper copy of the exam in up to four different forms. Form A, B, C, D. Unlike, by the way, the computer-based exam where you can literally have unlimited forms. Every single student in the class could have a different sequence of the same questions. On paper, you can do up to four different sequences. Okay, so now you distribute the paper copies, have them bubble it in, collect them, scan them, and once scanned, you can export the raw answers. From whatever scanning technology you happen to use, we could care less. All we care about is you giving us a CSV file, like an Excel type file, that has the raw answers, whether it's for the two students or the 200 students that took that exam. You import those answers into our system, and voila, it just seamlessly reintegrates everything. So in theory, you could have 50 students use Windows, 50 Mac, 50 iPad, 50 use paper, and it just seamlessly reintegrates everything. The only thing you lose out on is the average length of time students spent working on each question is actually calculated from the Windows, Mac, and iPad users. That's the one thing we can't collect for you from the paper users.
Sure. Now, if I'm scanning something, isn't that an image? How do I get from an image to a CSV file?
So when most modern day Scantron type of systems that are scanning the answers from the students, it actually will convert the ABCDs into actual ABCDs in their system. And instead of just printing it out like on an item analysis report, you can export each of the answers. So picture it as every row is a student with a student ID number followed by their answer to question one. And then the next column is their answer to question two, et cetera, et cetera. Having access to that data imported into our system is what allows us to tie it all together.
Okay, so do you provide that software? Is that a third party?
It's a third party. Most Scantron systems today that most of our clients have already have this capability. They just never really needed to use it in most instances. They simply, you know, because they were doing everything within that system. Now they just click an export option. In fact, there's a company called Remark that produces, you know, software that will process Scantron type results. What's nice is that they have an save as or an export as ExamSoft format. So it comes out in exactly the format that they need. And I misspoke a moment ago. It's a student ID in the first column, the ABCD form letter. So which form did the student have? Mm-hmm. Followed by the answer to question one, then two, then three,
gotcha. Etc. All right. Very cool. So, that would certainly make, acceptance here a little easier, knowing that some faculty or some departments might take them a while to move over to, you know, totally online testing environment.
So one of the things we haven't spoken about, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking about in greater detail anyway, is the idea of being able to link questions to various taxonomies, metadata, or categories, as we call them. We can get into that a little bit later. But what's nice is that you have an ability to then report on that data. Well, regardless of how the student took an exam, all of those reports are going to be available. So not only item analysis, but the category reporting as well, regardless of the source of the answers. What we found is even the professors that are resistant to adopting new technology, the students are not the effort. Putting the questions in and thoughtfully categorizing them, that's what the real investment is. Once they're in there, deploying it on paper, frankly, is more complicated than using computer approach, but it doesn't matter. It's whatever the client is comfortable with. That's what we can accommodate nowadays.
We're doing more and more with online learning. Is there any advantage to using or do other clients use ExamSoft even in online courses?
They do. There's various scenarios where that works. There's various scenarios on how that can be done. What's interesting is that if you need security, okay, so if it needs to be still a high stakes type of exam, then you can still use us, but all we're really doing is proctoring the computer. We're locking down the computer. We can't, of course, control, you know, having a student sitting next to their classmates. We can't control the fact that they could have five computers sitting next to them.
Right.
So in those scenarios where you don't just need a delivery for a take-home exam, but you need delivery for a take-home exam, which would be us, but also an overlay of security, then there are remote proctoring services that can be used. One of the ones that is the most common around the world and that has been used in conjunction with ExamSoft is a service called ProctorU, where by being able to connect over your camera, your screen sharing technology that they have, they can monitor the room by looking at the room, listening to the room, and observing your screen. So they, in essence, provide the proctoring and the security. What we're providing is the delivery mechanism, which is really nice because then you kind of get the best of both worlds. If you have an exam that's taken, whether it's taken exclusively by distance learners or a hybrid of distance learners and in-class students, then for the in-class students, it can be full lockdown where we're providing the lockdown and you've got a live proctor in front of them. And then for the students that are taking it remotely, you've got the ProctorU remote proctoring service to take advantage of that. So it's, like I said, the best of both worlds in that case.
Well, that's very interesting. I hadn't, that part didn't occur to me that there are some hybrid situations here where we do have courses where, you know, the students might not be on campus all the time. So, interestingly, I interviewed, the CEO of ProctorU several months ago. So, that's a nice connection to have.
It's been nice working with them. They're a good team over there, and it's neat because they're actually all over the world. So regardless of where we're bringing in new clients from, they seem to be able to accommodate them.
You mentioned it's compatible certainly with Windows and Mac OS and iPad. How about Android tablets?
The answer is no, and there's no immediate plans to do that. And the reason is that while Windows and Apple on its Mac and iPad platforms gave us ways to comprehensively lock down the environment, Android does not. As a result, there's no way to we're giving very often some really high stakes exams. I forget about, you know, like the bar exam is one of our, you know, biggest users. We have 50,000 people in a single day using our software. And so we're held to a very high standard. And while, you know, nothing can be 100% foolproof, we genuinely believe we're the most secure platform out there. Well, with that in mind, we got to make sure that regardless of what platform is delivered on, it's secure. And since there's no consistent way of being able to do that securely on an Android, we don't yet have an Android delivery tool.
Okay, well, fair enough. I have an iPad. A lot of us, in fact, some programs here require iPads, so that certainly fits in with our situation here. We've talked about the student experience and a little bit about the faculty experience. Tell us a little bit more about the analytics and item analysis and how that works.
One of the things that we over time adapted our software to be able to address was an interesting emerging need. It started in medical schools, and then it slowly percolated into other health science programs, and now we see it spreading everywhere. It was the need for schools to be able to map their curricula. Now, that's not a service that we provide. However, once they started to do that, they realized, you know, if we're actually mapping our curriculum against learning objectives, we really should be doing the same with our assessments. So they tried doing it by hand, and it was a nightmare. So as we started to see this need back in, I'd say, 2006, 7, 8 timeframe, we started to evolve our item banking capabilities to include the ability to link any one question to an unlimited number of what we call categories. Think of categories as a hierarchical tree. You can have categories, subcategories, subcategories. And any one of those categories can be linked to not only an unlimited number of questions, but also unlimited number of taxonomies. So an obvious one, going back to the concept of curricula mapping, is the ability to link a question to your learning objectives. That's really powerful when it comes to searching, but more importantly, reporting. So when you deliver an exam, you might have, let's say, 50 questions. Each question could be tied to 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 different categories. Each one of those categories could be a learning objective, a certain competency. It could be a subject area for a board exam. It could be the type of question, i.e. Bloom's taxonomy, for any of your listeners that are familiar with that type of classification. Integrated exams, which is very common among a lot of the health professions. You might have 5 or 10 instructors giving questions for one exam. Well, one of the nice things they can do is they can create a category named after each instructor and link those categories to each question. So you know who actually contributed the question in the first place. So there's lots of clever ways of using it, but the real power comes after the exam. Because you can then run category reports that show how students performed collectively in each one of the categories, each of one of those learning objectives that you tagged your questions against. You can see how, and by the way, of course, that helps you identify curricular level weaknesses. You can run it against each student in each category. So now you can identify not just that a student got a 78%, but where were they weak? Where do they need to remediate before they advance to the next set of material? And you can not only do that one assessment at a time, you can look at that data longitudinally. So think about the power of doing that. That means that over any number of assessments, any number of students, you can actually see how did students do in each one of those subject areas, learning objectives, competencies. So whether it's for the benefit of improving the quality of the education you're delivering, helping an individual student that might be struggling, or simply addressing accreditation demands, you're covered in all of those arenas because you can look at this data over the first 4 exams of a semester or the first 4 years of their matriculation.
Yes, that's really powerful. More and more programs here are migrating to a more competency-based curriculum. So this seems like it would be an excellent tool to help with that.
Exactly. Think of it as being we know about curriculum mapping. Think of this as assessment mapping. It's the perfect complement to curriculum mapping.
Well, listen, this has been great. I think it gives a great overview of what ExamSoft does, and it certainly is going to, I think, move schools really forward in their assessment and analysis. So I really appreciate your time. Are there any parting tips or words, anything especially new that's coming up in the near future?
We do, actually. So we've got an entirely new generation of our exam software coming out. We spent countless dollars, not to mention time with focus groups, user interface experts, user experience experts, sitting in front of students that experimented with it to build the most intuitive platform possible. And that's about to be released actually in about 3 weeks. And then we've got an entirely new platform. So the web-based portal that the instructors primarily use, we're actually evaluating that right now. And by a little bit after this time next year, so in about 13, 14 months, we're actually going to have an entirely new web-based platform for them to use. Now that we've got over 1,000 clients, we have a very deep reservoir of clients to draw from and getting advice on what they'd like to see in that next generation. So a lot of really cool stuff to come. Other things that are actually under the hood right now that we're going to be talking about in the months to come as well, additional products. So the future looks really bright. It's very exciting. And I thank you so much, Rod, for giving us an opportunity to share our solution with your audience.
Well, that's it for today. I hope you learned a lot about testing using ExamSoft. In the interest of full disclosure, we're evaluating ExamSoft for use here at USciences. I thought I should let you know that. Stay tuned for the full piece, Concerto in 2 in G minor, the Summer Concerto by Vivaldi. Until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.